today we are going to talk about a rich young ruler. So I guess you'll kind of figure out what it is about whenever we read. It's about this guy, and he has a lot of stuff. He's what they would consider rich, like, back in that time. And he felt like he needed Jesus. He wanted Jesus, and he loved Jesus. So he went and knelt at Jesus' feet, and he's like, what do I need to do? He's like, Jesus, I love you. What do I need to do? And Jesus is like, you know, you're cool. You're a good dude. I mean, you follow these things. And he's like, yeah, I've done this since I was a kid. He's like, so Jesus is like, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to go home and sell everything you have. Get rid of it. Not sell it, but give it away. Get rid of everything you have. And instead of doing so, he went home and cried. He couldn't do it. So some of the things that I want you guys to think about while we're reading this text and while we're going through this lesson, I want you to think, like, to yourself, obviously, but do you love God more than your stuff, or do you love your stuff more than you love God? Do you ever feel like Christianity or our religion is more just kind of like by-the-book stuff, like do this, do that, you know? Or are there things... This is a really important one that everybody needs to think about individually. Are there things that you know for certain you would never give to God, or things that are really difficult for you to give to God? I want you guys to think about that. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read the passage. I actually marked it this time. I never do that. So, yay. All right, Mark 10, verse 17 through 22, if you want to follow along. Like he said, it's in the second half. The Bible, second book there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Anyways, we're going to go ahead. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But he was dismayed by this command or demand, and he went away grieving because he had so many possessions. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for all the souls here, just awesome people, Lord. I pray that they would benefit from your word today, Lord, that you wouldn't, that I wouldn't be using my words, Lord, but that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, and that everything that could impact them would impact them, Lord, and that your word sinks into them with soft hearts and open minds, Lord, and that everything we do would glorify you. It's in Jesus' loving name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to break this down. We always break this down. So the first thing I'm going to do is talk about this man's outward humility, or how he appeared to want God and how he appeared to love God. In verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I mean, that's like poster child. That's poster child Jesus lover. That's, I'm running to God. I'm kneeling down at his feet. Just so like you guys like can understand how absurd this is back in that time. A man, like men didn't run. Like if you were a grown man, you didn't run. Like you strutted. You were like, yeah, dressed in my robes of purple. You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't run. I mean, it was just uncommon, as if your dad, like think about Brad Whitmore. Most of you know him. Big, stocky guy. Like climbing a tree. Just like walking out in that park and climbing a tree. I mean, like, I personally, like, I'm about to be that fun dad, but that's not the point. The point is that this is just completely whack that this guy's running in the middle of a crowd, like, to Jesus. Like, Jesus is setting out from a crowd to a journey, and this man is running in front of, just blasting to Jesus. And then he knelt down, showing honor. You guys see that in, like, the medieval times, like, I dub thee. Like, people kneel down, and they're like, I pledge my life to you. So he's kneeling down at Jesus, at least outwardly, maybe not on the inside as we see later, but he's kneeling down and he's showing that submission to Jesus and the submission to that faith. And he was acknowledging that Jesus knew best. And that's one of the most important things that you need to do, especially on the inside. And then he asked questions. We all have questions. And so he asked Jesus, he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Very good questions. So, like I said, this guy, he seems like a great guy. He seems like whenever you read the Bible, this is what you should be doing. But we see in these next few verses that that's not the case with this guy in particular. So now we're going to look at his inward pride, or his inward, like everybody has a, like everybody reads the Bible and you come up on a verse. I don't know if you guys have personally done this, but you come up on a verse and it's like, like you get it. Somebody gets it. Okay. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read 18 through 20. It says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one except God alone is good. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these from my youth." So in 17, you know, this man, he asked Jesus, you know, the good teacher, he's like, "How do I get into heaven, you know?" And so Jesus told him, you know, "You're a good religious boy. You're a really good guy. You know the commandments." And then he lists 6 of the commandments. I don't know if you noticed that wasn't 10. Because some people can't count like Jack. But I was just hoping Jacob could follow along too. But something special about these 6 commandments, they're all the outward commandments. Do not murder. That's something you can't do in your inside. Do not commit adultery. That's something debatably you can't do on your inside. Do not steal. You can't steal with your insides. Come on now. I'm not going to like reach out one of my arteries and steal something. That's not possible. Don't bear false witness or don't lie. You can't do that on the inside. You got to speak to lie. And then do not defraud, which is like deceiving or tricking in order to take advantage of somebody. I like how I said like and gave a Webster's dictionary definition. Anyways, and it says honor your mother and father. These are all things that you do outwardly. These are all things that you show. Okay? And he says, "I've kept all of these from my youth," and likely he had. Those are things that you can't like just second nature break. You know what I'm saying? Somebody gets it. And you know, he was rich, so he didn't need to steal. He probably didn't have any problem with anybody. He didn't murder. So the point is, he probably actually didn't commit any of those since his youth. But the thing is, those aren't the only commandments we need to keep. There's 10 of them. 10 of them. 10 of them. There we go. There's 10 commandments, not just those 6. And some of those are harder to keep, and especially the one that Jesus gives him next that we'll see in 21. That are a lot harder to keep because they have things to do with inwardly. Here's the connection. So this one, Jacob gave me a list of very helpful notes. He always does that. He titles this "The Impossible Command." This is the one that's hard for all of us to do, whether it's to this extent or whether it's something really small, like just watching movies too much instead of reading the Bible. These are things that you can't give up, so are really hard to give up. 21 and 22, "Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.'" Only then. "But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had so many possessions." So the way this is worded, it says he went away grieving because he had so many possessions. But the way I interpret that, don't just go off of what I interpret. You should read it and kind of see what you take from it. But I think it's kind of saying it's not just because he had so many possessions. It's that he loved those possessions so much. Okay? Anyways, so the man obeyed the other commandments, or the other 6 that we talked about. But this command was way too hard for him. See, Jesus in this commandment, Jesus was all-knowing. He's 100% man, 100% God. And so Jesus calls him out. He just straight, like, biblically calls him out, you know? He says, he was confronting him about his selfishness. He was confronting him about his greed. And he was confronting him about his pride, his inward pride. He was this man. He'd rather be rich than help others. Jesus asked him to give to the poor. He'd rather have stuff. Jesus asked him to sell everything. His stuff really owned him, and he couldn't get rid of it. And he had stuff, had a grip on his heart. His stuff had a grip on his heart. And so this man was just proud of his outward humility. This is another thing that I really like. This is something that is really hard to kind of understand, but we'll get there. So he's proud of his outward humility. Like I said earlier, most men wouldn't run. So the fact that he ran wasn't just because he loved Jesus, but he was proud that he outwardly loved Jesus. Like me, like I come to church and now I'm preaching right here. And so one way to look at that isn't just that I'm excited to be preaching God's word. Another way to look at that in a sinful way would be, look at me. I'm up in front of everybody. Like, look. Like, I'm going to show this recording to Brother Todd and be like, look how Christianly I am. You know what I'm saying? Christianly. And another, like, we go out and do the serve nights, like taking pictures, posting on my Instagram, like, hashtag Jesus, hashtag love ya. I mean, that's not the right thing to do, but that's what this man is doing. He's good at being good. On the outside. There's a catch. On the outside. He was a good kid on the outside. So, maybe you can relate to this guy. And, you know, maybe you're a pretty good kid. Maybe you go to church, keep a lot of religious rules. Maybe you have church friends, and maybe you have real friends. Anybody? Everybody? We are all more like this man than we like to admit. We all have friends outside of the church that aren't very religious. We know right, and we do wrong. We know that Jesus is good, even when we don't come to church. And we pray stuff like, God, show me your will for my life. And then he shows it and you don't keep it. You know? Sometimes you like to... let me put it this way. I can get up here and I can preach to all of you and be the furthest from God that I've ever been. And there'd be no difference in the words that I'm saying. This man was the furthest from God he'd ever been. Brother Todd talks about, this is one of his things, if this is us, this is Jesus, this is holy, this is sinful. Jesus covers us when we're saved, and you see, God looks down and he sees Jesus. But if this is us, if I had a third hand, this would be better. Just pretend this is no longer Jesus. This is this guy's stuff. It covered him. And so now this is Jesus again. Jesus could not cover him anymore because there was already stuff in the way. You know what I'm saying? So his stuff had so much grip on his heart that Jesus couldn't grip that heart. And Jesus knew that. He was too far from God because of his stuff. But he was still doing all these things. You guys get that? Smile and wave, nod and wave, whatever. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. But, you know, here's the danger. There's a difference between asking Jesus what he wants us to do and actually doing it. See, that's what we see here with this man. He's like, Jesus, I love you. You know, we're talking about all these things, his sin covering him instead of Jesus. And he's running absurdly. He's kneeling, showing that he's less. And he's not really going to do anything from it. That's the danger. You guys can do whatever you want, but that's not going to... I know what I'm trying to say. But I... Like, you guys get what I'm saying. Okay, good. Good. That's the point. Yeah. So, in our passage today, just like a review right here, this guy asked Jesus what to do. Okay, remember that? He ran. He knelt. He's like, what do I do for eternal life? And then he heard from Jesus what to do. Jesus is like, you're a good kid. You know, you've done this. So do this. This is the last thing you need to do. It's the only thing you need to do. And then you can come follow me. And then the guy didn't do it. If Jesus gave you one thing to do, do it. Goodness gracious. But Jesus isn't wanting our outward actions. I guess that's kind of what I'm getting to. You know, Jesus isn't like, this doesn't matter to Jesus. This doesn't matter at all. Like what I'm doing right now, this doesn't matter. What matters is if all of you and myself have an inward change. That's what matters. I could sit up here and I could read the Bible word for word for you, Maybe not I, because obviously I can't really speak, but that's not what matters. Jesus wants our hearts. Jesus wants our hearts. As I read this passage, Jesus was kind of confronting me with my own pride and my selfishness, because everybody has it. Everybody has it. I have it. But the lesson of this passage is not do more and give more away. The lesson is love God and worship God above all else. Don't let that sin get in the way of Jesus. Don't let your stuff, don't let your bad friends, don't let certain actions get in the way of Jesus. Because Jesus is after your heart. Jesus. Yeah. But I'm going to share with you guys another story. This one is actually from the Bible, or about the Bible. So Apostle Paul. Some of you guys don't know. Paul used to be Saul, and he used to persecute Christians, kill Christians on the daily. He's like one of those dudes, you know, they like kill people and rap about it. That's what Saul did. He killed people and he rapped about it. Little did you know, Saul was the first iCloud rapper. Or whatever that's called. Isn't it iCloud? I'm going to feel dumb if it's not. SoundCloud. First SoundCloud rapper. So, no, he really wouldn't. They didn't have SoundCloud back then if you didn't get that part. Yeah, it's like you like put songs up. Anyways, so Saul, like, he's just to the point. Saul's just a really bad dude. Saul was like bad to the bone, like bad bone. Anyways, Saul was just really not a good guy, and he had pride in his work. So not only did he do bad things, he had pride in the bad things. Like, our trouble is that we have pride in good things. Like, he had pride in bad things. He was awful. And then, anyways, I elaborated way too much on that. But Paul and Saul on the road to Damascus, that's like something written down in the Bible. I actually do not know where. I probably should. Saul becomes Paul. Like, Saul sees Jesus and he becomes Paul. Okay? Long story short. So now Paul is Paul and he's living his life for Jesus. He originally thought to write 13 out of 27 books in the New Testament. He made up almost half the New Testament. I think that, like, yeah, the teeter's half. It had to be 13 and a half to be. Anyways, I'm not doing math on the spot right now. But anyways, after his conversion, now he's Paul. All of my efforts are filthy rags before God, because your outwardly everything is nothing. And Paul said elsewhere that no one is good enough to please God. Nobody. And that's why the impossible command is love God so much that you'll give up what you hold dearest. Because nobody can do it. Nobody can please God. That's why it's the impossible command. But what I want you guys to think about is making this not the impossible command. So, like, what do you guys hold dearest? You know, for this guy, it was money. You know, maybe for you, it's like a relationship, like a friendship. Just anything like that. Is it like a secret sin or like a bad habit? Just something that you can't shake. You know, good grades, maybe stress too much over that, or maybe you just have really bad grades and you're not reflecting Christ and putting effort into your work. Is it popularity? Do you stress so much about being popular that you can't really profess your name because you're afraid of being ridiculed? You know, is it your phone? You look too much on Instagram all the time. Instaface. Nobody laughs. What the heck? I'm up here preaching like Jacob. I thought I should make a dad joke. Ivan wore flannel. Flannel enough. Anyways. Is it Snapchat? Is it things you're not supposed to be on? Anyways. On the outside, the point is, on the outside you look good, but you guys have something you're struggling with. I have struggled with. She got it. She finally got it. Oh my gosh. But I want you guys to think about this. Like, you guys came in here tonight, and maybe not all of you, but some of you were thinking, you know, I'm going to fool everybody. Maybe in the back of your head, maybe not consciously, but you're like, I'm going to fool everybody. I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to hold it open. Maybe not even read along, but I'm going to hold it open, make it look like I'm reading. And you're just like, I'm going to do the church thing. But on the inside, you're saying, God, you better not ask me to give this thing up. This thing that we talked about, told you to think about, better not ask me, because it's not happening. Okay? That's something you guys got to think about. What's that thing? And then give it up. But Jesus gives us the impossible command. And no one can hear this command and think, yeah, I can do that. Nobody can hear it and say, that's easy. That's why it's impossible. See, I'm just coming back to that a lot. I want you guys to hear that it's impossible, that it's hard. Because Christianity isn't easy. I mean, if Christianity was easy, then everybody would already be converted. We'd be fine. We'd still be back with Jesus right now. If Christianity was easy, then none of this would be a thing. We'd just be praising. I would be preaching. I'd be talking out of Psalms. Okay. But these verses are here to crush our hopes of efforts getting us into heaven. Because running, climbing a tree, they're the same thing. Running to Jesus and climbing a tree, if you're not running with your heart, it doesn't mean anything. They mean the same thing. You just kind of look stupid because you're not doing what you need to do to get everything out of it. And I think that's why Jesus kind of told us what to do. Anyways, takeaways, I'm going to go ahead and get to that. For you Christians, those of us who have accepted Christ into our life, you're now free in Christ. You're free to do what Christ has called you to do. And you can say no to the world stuff. It's hard to do that, but you can say no. It's easier for you because you love Christ and you know the high of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that can replace that. If you've truly accepted Christ, you know the feeling of the Holy Spirit, and it's a lot easier for you to say no. And you can say yes to God in that way. And that's another way to feel the Holy Spirit again, is just those powerful moments. And you can play a huge part in His mission. That's another thing. Once you're a Christian, you're using your heart in missions. You know, you're using your heart, and that's the stuff that kind of really matters. You can give all you have away to the gospel. You know, 2.2 billion people are unreached right now. God on missions. Anyways, non-Christians, it's really, really clear. It's trust in Jesus. Don't trust in yourself. There's a song, Stairway to Heaven. It doesn't really exist. It's just a good song. You know, there's no way to walk your way up there. There's no way to run your way up there if you're not using your heart. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. I hope you all kind of got something from that. I know some of it was kind of rambled. I'm still having a hard time kind of stressing what that is. But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and pray. So let's do that. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. Just another way that we can get closer to you. Lord, I just pray that everyone here took something from it. Lord, whether it be just anything that I said, anything that you just kind of put into my mouth, Lord, or something that they go home and read and elaborate on and that you put into their hearts, Lord. I just pray that everything that they learned, that I learned, can be used outside of this place, Lord, that as we go out, we don't really conform, Lord, but that we are a light shining in your direction, Lord. And I pray that everything we do would further glorify you. It's in Jesus' loving name I pray. Amen.